Okay, we're approaching the holy days of Sukkot, and Hashem, Sukkot is a very busy chag to prepare for. There's a lot of amazing things to do, and it's not as much time as most chagim, right? Only have a few days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And I find that very often in the busiest times, it's also usually the potential for the holiest times, and I think this is no exception. So I just wanted to look a little bit at maybe the transition going from Yom Kippur to Sukkot. And we'll start just by talking a little bit outside of the piece from Lakutei Maharan, from Rabbi Nachman, Torah Kuf Ayin Tet. And it's a beautiful piece, and the piece talks about a little bit how Yom Kippur is all about removing our ratzon. Right? As human beings, we have ratzonos, we have desires, we have a will to do all different sorts of things. And at times we have healthy desires and unhealthy desires. And among the healthier desires we have is a desire to eat. And that's normal and healthy, and that's something Hashem blessed us with, and we daven that everyone should have a taiva to eat and to drink. But yet, there's something interesting, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, that on Yom Kippur, we're supposed to be fasting. We're supposed to take that desire, which is normal, that Hashem created us with, and we're supposed to replace that with His desire. And what's interesting about when it comes to food and drink versus other desires, we know often we need to subdue our desires in order to accomplish what Hashem wants us to do. But the difference with food and drink is that we need food and drink to survive. Right? So when it comes to other pleasures in this world, a person could totally remove themselves from it, and they could still survive, and they could be fine and healthy. You know? But when it comes to food and drink, it's so vital to a person, not even like, okay, I need to have food and drink once in a while. It's not. Throughout the day, a person needs to be eating, a person needs to be drinking. But at the same time, then the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us on Yom Kippur, amongst, okay, there are other days also where we have a mitzvah of fasting, but Yom Kippur being the primary one, is remove your will, your normal healthy will, and replace it with my will. And my will for this day is that you do not eat, and you do not drink. So Yom Kippur becomes a day of removing our will, Rabbi Nachman says, for the wills of the Ribbono Shel Olam, for the desire, for the ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's not just by food and drink, but on a loftier level, it really applies to everything. As Rabbi Nachman quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says, "Batel ratzoncha mipnei ratzono." So I'll share a beautiful story and Torah from the Tasha Rebbe. The Tasha Rebbe said that Shvisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, as explained in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, that a person should always be conscious of Hashem. We should always be aware of Hashem wherever we are, whatever we're doing. That we're in Hashem's presence. But if you look at the words itself, it's an interesting thing. Which is Shvisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, that a person is supposed to view the Ribbono Shel Olam keneged, right? Across from himself, opposite himself. And it doesn't just mean that we're always in Hashem's presence, but it also means that which is across from me, it's opposite of my regular nature, where I'm currently holding. That is where we'll find the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's where we'll find closeness to Hashem. Meaning that the whole tachlis, our whole job in this world, is to break our nature, right? Batel, our own ratzon, in order to make room for the ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this isn't just a nice Torah from the Tasha Rebbe, this is an amazing story. The Tasha Rebbe was returning back to his shul, and he had his house was attached to it, it was part of it, and he had his room that he would sit in, and he would learn, and he would see people in, and he gets back to this, to the base medrash, and he's going to go into this room, and he says to one of his gabayim, he says, listen, I need you to do me a favor. I'm exhausted. It was already 2 or 3 in the morning. He said, please, the next few hours, next hour or two, make sure there's no interruptions. And the guy was like, all right, I got this. And the guy was standing guard there, making sure no one goes in. And the Rebbe's son, the Tasha Rebbe's son, comes. And he says, I need to speak to my father. And he says, I'm sorry, but no one goes past me, the Rebbe said. The Rebbe said, he's exhausted, he's sleeping. Next few hours, no one's going in. So the Tasha Rebbe's son doesn't know what to say. Like, first of all, it's his father. But second of all, like, this is, there's something very important he needs to speak to him about. He says, listen, if my father knew that there was what to talk about, that I need to talk to him about this, so then he would want me to wake him up. He said, listen, I hear you, but I was told not to let anyone in. I'm not letting anyone in. So they didn't know what to do. So they went to a third chassid. And they, you know, took a vote. And it was 2-1. That the Tasha Rebbe's son should go in and speak to the Rebbe. So the Tasha Rebbe's son goes in, and they all kind of peek their head in, and they see the Tasha Rebbe standing there, and his feet are in ice water, and he's learning, or he's saying to him. And the Gabbai says, Rebbe, you said you're going to be sleeping. And the Tashrebbe said, I never said I was going to be sleeping. I said I was tired not to let anyone come in. And you didn't do a good job watching the door. With a big smile. To break our own nature. That's the avoda of why we're here. And I think that's the big avoda of Yom Kippur. And then this leads us to Sukkos. Sukkos is... after a person breaks their own desire for the desire of something greater than themselves, whether that's the Ribbono Shel Olam or for another person, well, then they arrive at love. Right? Love of making space for another person. Sukkos was the celebration of love with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it is today as well. When the one time a year they put water on the Mizbeach, water which we know represents of the four Yesodos of earth, water, wind, and fire, and water represents taivas, desires, a person's will, a person's ratzon. So we take the water on Sukkos and we pour it on the Mizbeach, the one time you ever do this, to show that a person's ratzonos are now, a person's desires are now in the Mizbeach, in sacrificing our ratzon for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then there's a simple space shueva, and there was no simple like the simple space shueva. What a connection, because when a person makes space for something greater than themselves, there's no greater joy in the world. And we arrive at these days of Sukkos after we're cleansed. We're cleansed of not only sin, but on a deeper level, what was separating between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And there's really no greater simcha than that. And we get to Sukkos, and we know that we might have heard this Torah when we were younger, but it's also a beautiful Torah that's brought down, that the Sukkah is like a hug. The Sukkah has the two walls and the third wall, which is allowed to be smaller, and it's like, you know, a person's chest and arm and their hand going out and hugging another person. And it is that embrace from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's one of the mitzvahs we have that a person can be fully enveloped in. Like mikvah and Eretz Yisrael, fully immersed in. It's a complete immersive experience. So much so that wherever a person looks, all they see is that they're surrounded by their sukkah and the Or Makif, the surrounding light from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And maybe this is part of the idea from the Gemara, which says that the non-Jewish people were given one mitzvah. They were given the mitzvah of sukkah. And when they left the sukkah, because it was too hot, they were no longer even obligated in sukkah. But the Gemara says when they left the sukkah, they kicked it on the way out. So the question is, obviously, what did they do wrong? Like, if it's too hot, if a person's been tired, they're putter from the sukkah. Like, it was so hot. Hashem took the sun out of its sheath. Like, what are they supposed to do? But of course, the idea we've heard on this is that it's not about the fact that they left the sukkah, it's the kick on the way out. It's that they didn't even want to do it. There wasn't a desire that, oh, I wish I could have done it. I, even if I'm not able to do this for you, I love you so much, and I long to be able to do it for you. It was, them and their stupid mitzvahs. And that's everything we're trying to combat here on Sukkos. That when we really love something, we're willing to do whatever we can for it. And if we're not able to do something for someone, or for their Ribbono Shel Olam, we wish we could, because our desire is to make their desire our true desire. Hashem should bless us that we have a very simchadik Chag HaSukkot, and that we're blessed to feel the cleanliness of our neshama after experiencing Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and Elul. And we should be able to be aware of this embrace that the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending our way. Thank you so much. Chag Sameach.